This Thanksgiving, we all have something to celebrate.
We're going to make turkeys great again.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Well, that was certainly an introduction with a lot of fanfare and special effects. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm in the house with my two co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right, so last week, we talked about the possibility of having guests. That's not happening. So it's all about the dish today, really.
Yay.
And so it's a fun-filled episode with a lot of stuff going on in the LGBT community and in politics and all that good stuff and penguins and God knows what else.
So you know how you had reverb on Chris for the opener?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I was watching this woman do a comedy sketch, and she was talking about going to the gynecologist.
Uh-huh.
And she is like in her, you know, mid to late 60s. And she's like, you know, you're sitting there, you're in your stirrups. And then all of a sudden the doctor comes in, he gets up in there and he starts talking to you. And all you can hear is like, and the guy put reverb on her and it was just echoing. You couldn't hear what she was saying. And I was dying. And the woman had no idea that the guy was going to do it. And she lost it. She lost the, like, for like a good 30 seconds, she was just laughing. She was like, that was funny.
Well, hello. No, it's just, I was actually doing something with Jess Brannis. We recorded an episode for the Drinks with Jess podcast. I joined her on one of her episodes. And halfway through it, I was singing a song for her. So I added a little reverb to the soundboard. And
Tom loves his reverb.
Of course I do. You know, it makes you sound fabulous. And that's why it's there. So being that, you know, you were already on and going and live and in charge, how are you?
Fine.
Just fine?
Yeah.
How was your week?
Fine.
Fine.
I really have nothing to report. I didn't really do anything this weekend. I didn't even come here.
No. We were supposed to get together. We were supposed to get together and do a movie. And then halfway through, she was like, I got a board meeting in the morning. This was for, Saturday into Sunday. And I'm like, your board meetings suck. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Who does a board meeting on a Sunday?
I mean,
you know. Pick a Friday afternoon, like one Friday afternoon every month. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why they do Sundays, but whatever.
It is what it is. But yeah, you were supposed to come over and watch movies. I ended up watching a movie last night, and I can't tell you what it was. Oh, it's Holidate.
Oh, wait.
It's with
Emma. Is there a gay couple in it?
No, it's with Emma Roberts. She's the star of Ryan Murphy's what's that series? Apocalypse,
Zombie,
The Witches. You know, he does like a
American Horror Story.
Thank you.
I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So she stars. So she stars in the movie with this Australian actor, and his accent was, oh my god, killing me throughout the whole movie. But it was pretty cute. It's called Holidate, and Kristen Chenoweth is in it.
Oh, love her.
And she plays one of the aunts who's always bringing different dates to all the holidays.
Oh, wait,
all over.
I saw that.
It was very funny.
Oh, my
and,
God,
like, she
yeah.
brings home, like, the Santa Claus guy from the mall, and he's going through, yep. and she's like, yeah, you know.
This is my holiday.
That's it. Just one day. You don't have to see him again. No commitments. No nothing. And but it was a cheesy but cute movie, and I loved it. Chris, how are you?
I'm good.
You're good? How's it going?
Things are going really well.
So what are you reporting on your end?
I mean, just really been laying low, you know, not trying not to go out and do much.
COVID.
Obviously, COVID, yeah,
right.
and all that. I'm looking forward to Wednesday going to my sister's house. It'll just be Bobby, myself, my sister, and her husband.
Did you give her the rundown? Of all the like stuff that you cannot eat that she can't
yes,
use?
Yes, we had it. We actually had probably about a 35-minute conversation about how the stuffing cannot be in the turkey. I was like, it doesn't matter if you cut me like a breast from the top, that cannot be in there unless it's gluten free. So,
okay.
But yeah, so we're excited. It'll be a good time.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Gluten-free. So what is your ideal Thanksgiving menu, gluten-free menu?
Well, I'm happy we're keeping it pretty simple because it's really just four people.
Right.
So we're going to do the turkey with stuffing on the side, uh-huh. and then we're going to make a gluten-free stuffing. And then we're just going to do like green beans with like garlic and almonds, mashed potatoes. I'm going to do some kind of fancy cheese platter. And then I'm going to practice tomorrow after work to make this gluten-free cheesecake.
Huh. Oh, so, God, it's going to be terrible.
Okay. So, the only thing that's different is a crust.
So let me ask you. You're saying that she's going to make stuffing, and then you're going to also make a gluten-free stuffing. Mm-hmm. Why not just bang
not
out
have stuffing?
Just make the gluten-free stuffing and throw it in the turkey.
They might. Well, some people, this is a polar opposite. There are really two sides, two deeply rooted sides, and does the stuffing belong in the turkey? I say no. The stuffing gets cooked on the side so you don't dry that bird out. But we can do a cornbread stuffing as long as it's a gluten-free cornbread.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's so many different things that you can do, but you're right. Like, I don't stuff my turkey with stuffing. I normally put like veggies, carrots, potatoes.
You could even put fruit in the inside of it. Veggies and fruit. Yeah.
Right. Lemon.
Yeah. But some people put like orange and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put a little bit of everything.
You could do that. Definitely load it up with root veggies, throw in your like celery, turnips, parsnips. Carrots.
A lot of people throw like cilantro and stuff inside, mm-hmm. Make it very flavorful and rich. So,
yeah,
but you know, it's
you have to put stuffing in the turkey.
See, exactly.
So but it's not, either that or you have to fist the turkey. One of the two.
Yeah. Well, it's not really that big of a deal. I think we're gonna be fine as long as there's plenty of wine and plenty of Budweiser for my brother-in-law. Then we're gonna be good.
Yeah. Oh,
that's really all that matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope you're ready, honey.
But other than that,
have no idea.
Right.
No clue.
On the school front, I did officially decide where I'm going to go. And that school also, there was going to be some money that was going to, I've received multiple grants from, you know, I got like the federal Pell grant, but I also got a dean's grant from the college as well as another grant from them. And while speaking with.
Did they look at your grades?
That's why I got those good grants.
Interesting.
I did very well. Thank you very much.
When she showed up.
I
had very good grades throughout my associate's degree. And I was talking with someone from financial aid there, and I was telling him how much it was going to be, I was going to be responsible for out of pocket. You know, and it's really hard right now with the restaurant industry. Business is not as busy as normal. And he was like, you know, let me see what I can do. And he ended up getting me more grant money.
That's
to
awesome.
Help, yeah, to help like really make it so I'm not going to be struggling to pay for this now. You know, I'll have some of the debt to deal with later, but.
Proud of you.
As most people do. I mean, you'll probably, you know, if you play your cards right, you will have minimal debt. But if you play your cards the regular way, like everybody else has, you'll most likely end up with student debt for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, I really did luck out. I can already see the subsidized and unsubsidized loans that I'm going to be taking out. And I know exactly how much debt I am going to be looking forward to paying off. And it's minimal compared to what a lot of people, unfortunately, are burdened with for a big portion of their life.
Especially right. The fact that you're going out of state into a private college.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be smart about
it. Speaking of which, do you want to tell us about the class you have to take?
I don't have to take it. It just sounded... Well, I do. I do have to take. Yes. So the school I'm going to, it is a Catholic school.
I cannot.
So you do have to take one class in religious studies. But the thing with that is that ties so closely with history. Being a history major, those two can be tied.
Well, of course. I mean, when you think about the Crusades and you think about all these other things that happen as a result of religious oppression in this
Which is already taught in a lot of the different history classes that I'll be taking. But one of the professors I was speaking with, who actually is going to be my advisor, told me that his friend teaches a class called Religion and Science Fiction. And I was like, done. So in.
Wait, so what does that mean, though?
I don't know, but maybe I'm going to be learning about Jedis and the flying spaghetti monster that Tom Cruise worships.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But he said it was going to be an interesting class. So, no.
Well, overall, you know, all that is left to say is that we're proud of you. You know, you didn't know where you were going to go in the beginning when we were pushing you and saying, hey, just do this. You got through your associates, you know, and now you're going to a private college to finish off your degree. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Next stop, children. I'm sorry.
No. I still got.
I apologize in advance.
No. Probably marriage.
Well, once you get your bachelor's, you should be able to start teaching in school and then getting your master's.
Yes, that's what I thought. I know. At first, I thought I got it too. Yeah. But I'm going to obviously be going pretty much right into a master's program. And the really cool thing is they were talking when we were kind of mapping out how my next 2 years are going to be, they were really pushing me to do some independent studies and start doing some field work and really getting involved in research, which is going to be great. One, it's going to give me the freedom to work on topics that interest me. But it's also going to really prepare me for my master's program, where I'm going to have to be writing these large papers. And then eventually when I have to work on a thesis for a PhD program. So I think these next 2 years are going to be incredibly beneficial to preparing myself for the next step, which is kind of what education is. You know, high school gets you ready for college.
Smart.
With a lot of help. It's a lot of help.
Right. Well, but it does. Yes, it
very
does
excited.
Help.
So that's me. What about you?
I can tell you that I am off this entire week.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. I'm excited because I don't have to get up and roll out of bed and move over to the next room and turn on the computer and as early. It doesn't matter because, you know, I mean, my dogs still wake me up first thing in the morning, so I get up anyway, but I don't have to deal with people at work this week, which is great. And I don't have to go back to work until the following Monday.
That's exciting.
Other than that, I've been, you know, just doing little things in the house. Like today, I decided to dismantle the fan in the bathroom and clean it all out and make sure I got rid of all the dust and everything that sort of kind of gets caught up in there. And
I've never done that.
Huh?
I've never done that.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I can't. I was like, I was looking up. I was like, that thing is dark.
I was going to say, it was probably nasty.
So I just unhooked it. Took off the speakers, cleaned everything out, put everything together, and threw it back on.
Of course.
Yeah, my fan has speakers, built-in speakers into it. It's got Bluetooth speakers so that you can listen to music or whatever when you're showering and, you know, and really enjoying the experience of bathing yourself.
All I pictured when you were talking about looking up and seeing how dark it was, Bobby tested my father and a coworker of my father for COVID the other day with the test that the lab he works at is developing. Cool thing. This test does not tickle your brain. You don't go up nearly that far. It's right in the bottom of your nose. Huh. So the guy who came over, my dad's a mechanic, you can definitely tell was just underneath a car because he sticks this white little nasal swab up there, pulls it out, and the thing's fucking black as oil.
Lord have mercy.
What?
Blew your nose, dude.
Yeah, I was like, oh dear.
Yeah, I don't think you want to test that. That's gonna be a false positive. Right? There's a lot more shit up in that nose than just COVID.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god.
That's just all I pictured.
Yeah, but other than that, I've just been, you know, trying to catch up on shows. I finally watched season 4 of The Crown. So for those of you who have been living under a rock, The Crown is it's a fictional story based on the real lives of the royal family of England, or the UK, I should say. And it follows, you know, the Queen Elizabeth II, from the time she took the throne and her father passed all the way through. Currently, this season is the Diana years, Diana Princess of Wales. And it's very interesting to see. There's a lot of it that is historically true, but there's a lot of it that sort of kind of has been embellished to sort of kind of like develop the storyline.
Fluffed.
So you right. think.
So we think, but because we don't know. But the actress who plays Diana, oh my god. So I went back and I started watching some of Diana's interviews and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Or like when they announced their engagement and how they did it in the show. Uncanny. She's really good.
So
really good.
When I was a kid, my mom was obsessed with the royal family. And we had these tapes that were made by the local police department where we were like, you know, little kids. And we were saying, hey, I live at blah, blah, blah. My name is blah, blah, blah. My phone number is blah, blah, blah. In case I ever got kidnapped. Right.
Right.
So I'm watching these tapes. And next thing I know, I'm gone, and Princess Diana's funeral is recorded over my tape. I'm like, Mom, what the hell?
But it's Diana.
Right. It's the people's princess. There is no doubt whatsoever that woman, as young as she was, captivated the world.
Oh, yeah.
With who she was and her philanthropy and working with, you know, children and doing all of her, you know, all the things that she wanted to do as far as like fundraising and bringing awareness. I think that she really, really did change the world in the little time that she was here. And I don't think that that family will ever get anyone that will be as magnanimous as this woman was.
Do you think the queen had her killed?
I don't. I don't. What do you think?
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say that?
Well, part of me says it because I think Prince Charles didn't really love her.
Right.
I think they had their own issues. And then on top of it, she had issues with Jackie Kennedy, and people equated Diana to Jackie Kennedy. And I think having her in the family took shine away from the queen, and I think that she didn't like that.
Well, the queen doesn't like when she's not the center of attention. I mean, any queen or king wouldn't like that, right?
Yeah, no.
And so you Hello? Do everything that you can to sort of kind of make sure that you are not the center of attention. But in retrospect, when you think about, you know, how that all played out, like when you think about Camilla Parker Bowles, that's Charles's current wife.
Okay.
They had an affair prior to him meeting Diana. Not necessarily an affair. They fooled around prior to them meeting Diana. This is real. This happened in real life. And they continued to have an affair while he was married to Diana. And then eventually when Diana died, he finally got dispensation from the queen and permission to marry Camilla Parker Bowles, who was a divorcee, or excuse me, her husband had died. So at that point, she was a widow. So if you remember, if you can think going back all the scandal about what was the American actress that married the king?
Meghan, no. No,
we're not talking about Meghan Markle. We're talking about, excuse me, Wallace. Oh, my God. What was her name? Anyway, the only reason why Queen Elizabeth is queen is because her uncle abdicated the throne to marry an American actress back in the 40s or 50s. What was her name? Anyway, her last name was Wallace. She was an American actress. They wanted to get married, and then Parliament said no. If you want to marry this woman, a divorced woman from the United States, an actress, you have to abdicate your throne. And so he abdicated to marry her, and that's how his brother ended up being king, meaning the father of Queen Elizabeth II. She wasn't next in line.
Wallace Simpson?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, that's why I need you. Google it. So Wallace Simpson was the reason why, you know, her uncle abdicated the throne. And then he had to leave England. He ended up in Germany. He was cozying up to the Nazis in Germany. There was a big controversy surrounding all of that. And all of this is played out in the first two seasons of the Crown. And a lot of it historically is true. But then you jumpstart 20 plus years, and now you're thinking about, you know, Diana divorcing Charles and Charles getting dispensation from the queen to marry Camilla after her husband had passed away and after Diana had passed. And then you jumpstart another 10 or 15 years, and you run into the situation where Harry wants to marry an American actress. Right. And now the queen is given permission yet again. And so her stance on marriage changed over time. She didn't even let her own sister marry.
No, I know. Yeah.
It's incredible how the dynamic in that family is it's just incredible.
I feel like she's just like, oh my God, I'm done. Whatever. Yeah, like marry point, him. Whatever. I don't care.
And, you know, and then poor Charles. Is the man is like 60. Her mother, you know, she's going to live until like 105 or something like that, right? And poor Charles is just sitting there waiting for his turn to be king. And he may not ever even, like, I think he might abdicate so that Will would end up being king.
Maybe.
Because he's now too old. What is he going to do? I mean, he probably wants to go take his little leisurely strolls all the way up to Balmoral Castle up in freaking Scotland and not have to deal with the UK people down in London. I honestly think that's true.
And that's Tom's take.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, we do have some stories that we want to cover, so we will jump into some actual dish. We've got some disturbing news all the way from Florida, of course.
Of course.
Fucking Florida. What the fuck? What the fuckity fuck fuck? So anyway, what ended up happening is that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit issued a 2-1 opinion overturning Otto versus City of Boca Raton, citing violation of the First Amendment protections on freedom of speech in their decision. The majority opinion was written by two Trump-appointed judges, and basically what it ended up doing is reversing the ban on conversion therapy in that particular county in Florida. And that is disturbing. We've been talking about conversion therapy on this show for quite a while. And the fact that Trump is on his way out the door, and all of he has appointed well over 200 plus federal judges to lower courts, not necessarily the Supreme Court. He's got his three picks that he's got up there and a whole bunch of federal judges that he appointed to lower courts that will forever be causing issues for the LGBT community long after Trump has left office. And it is disturbing that we are now reading, and this particular case may set the tone for what could happen, right, based on their decision in other areas in where currently conversion therapy is banned. And it's really disturbing. It makes me feel sad that, you know, some barbaric, archaic way of thinking could lead to some little kid committing suicide because they're seriously disturbed and not really able to comprehend nor come to terms with what they're forcing them to do and what they know is right inside of them, like who they are.
Right. And they're going to be tortured every step of the way toward that breaking point. Unfortunately.
And it's just disgusting.
What bothers me about it is, like, when I was talking to my father about the fact that since Trump has been in office, we haven't lost any rights, blah, 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 but he's appointed all these judges. But in Florida, now we have two judges, one in Palm Beach County and Boca Raton. Palm Beach is literally the county next to my parents' county. Right. And now that county has a ban on, has reversed a ban on conversion therapy.
Right. Which will allow therapists to practice this barbaric and horrific practice of trying to tell and teach children that who they are is wrong. And it's just very disturbing.
And it's important to point out that we've talked about this for many episodes. Multiple states are outlawing it. Multiple countries across the globe have. But then there are such agencies such as excuse me, the American Academy of Pediatrics, American Medical Association, American Psychological Association, and the Human Rights Campaign who widely and strongly oppose this failed, as you said, archaic practice. Because I'm not going to entertain it with the word therapy.
No, because it's not. You know, they can sit there and call it anything that they want and dress it up, put it in a pink dress. At the end of the day, this is just child abuse. Period.
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 Mm-hmm. But it's also important to note that the 11th Circuit covers Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But because of what it's actually overturning, it's really only a practical matter in local laws enacted in Florida currently.
Right. Currently. But that could set the stage for other counties, other states,
absolutely
challenging the bans that currently exist.
Right. Because as we know that this is torturous and can leads to torture and so many,
and
too
suicide.
Many cases, absolutely, that's what I was getting to. Too many cases leads to suicide. But this is what the fanatical conservatives are leaching onto as it's saying that by banning this, you're going against the First Amendment, someone's freedom of speech.
Right.
It's a shameful argument.
It really is. And the fact that these two Trump-appointed justices fell for that shit.
And it was a 3-1 decision.
Right.
2-1.
2-1.
One Obama, two Trump.
Two Trump. So,
yep.
Right. So it was a 2-1.
Yeah.
It's just scary.
While the First Amendment right and the freedom of speech is the most important amendment, it's the First Amendment that was so dire to those who were drafting the Bill of Rights. But we can't use that to allow violence and allow hatred and allow torture.
Right. Well, one thing is to have freedom, your freedom for you to say whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
And the other is to impose your own personal beliefs and your lifestyle and what you believe to be right on other people. Mm-hmm. That goes beyond the freedom of speech at this point, right? Because you're also violating that person's right to exist, to live life free, be able to pursue happiness and live freely.
Absolutely. And it's just as important as a freedom of religion just as important to that is a freedom from religion. You can't,
of course,
you can't impose your will on in the name of a God on the other American people, because we have the right to exist, just like you said.
But, it's just really sad.
But the fact that we are actually currently talking about religious beliefs when it comes to our Constitution, when it comes to the election, when it comes to these rulings, there is a problem already. I mean, separation of church and state, we've talked about it on the show before. Right. The reality is right now, there really isn't one. They are using religion to combat everything that we've moved forward with.
Right. But the thing is that in the U.S. Constitution, the problem that we're having is that nowhere in the Constitution does it say that there should be a separation of church and state. What it does say is that you have a right to practice your religion, right? Mm-hmm. And the concept of separation of church and state is basically something that was derived our founding fathers writing outside of the Constitution with their intent when they set the Constitution, right? And so because it's not doctrine in the Constitution and it's just separate writings that some of our founding fathers were discussing amongst themselves as to what they used, the ideology they used to create this document, some people think that, you know, separation of church and state indeed is enshrined in the Constitution, and it's not. And so, you know, that's why you have things, for example, on our dollar bill where it says "In God We Trust," right? Or that you have certain elements of religion that have infiltrated our currencies and our way of thinking and our way of living. And for example, when
it's in the Bill of Rights, though,
the Bill of Rights talks about your freedom to religion, freedom mm-hmm. to practice your religion.
It literally says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
Don't remember exactly when the
so they can't establish any laws that
are respecting any specific religion,
because we can't have a national religion.
No, what it's saying is they can't make a decision based on religion for any religion in any law.
That's not necessarily.
So I'm so mad I don't have the copy of my Constitution.
Conceptually, you are correct, right? You can't make any laws that will specifically tie yourself into a specific religion. But there's no wording in our Constitution that says there must be a separation of church and state.
First Amendment.
It does not say that.
But they amended the Constitution in the Bill of Rights with that clause.
Show me the clause.
Right here.
Yeah, okay, so separation of church and state, again, this particular wording, I don't see it in the amendments. Where's the
amendment? You didn't even look.
Where is the amendment?
It's the First Amendment.
Okay.
And then you also have
we're going to have further review on this and find details on it, because I know.
Established clause.
The establishment clause. It's the Lemon Test.
Yeah.
I pulled up the Lemon Test for this. A law must, as three parts. A law must have a secular legislative purpose. There needs to be a secular purpose for it. Number two, not have the primary effect of either advancing or inhibiting religion.
Right.
So pro or against a certain one, pushing or pushing away one, and then not resulting in an excessive government entanglement with religion. Those are the three clauses of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment.
But it doesn't necessarily say that you must separate church and state. It implies.
But as long as the law doesn't excessively
entangle itself to a specific religion, it can happen.
Or advance or inhibit a religion.
If you're going to rule against something like a ban on conversion therapy,
right?
In the idea of the Catholic religion, then that is a fucking entanglement. That's an entanglement.
But unfortunately, for these individuals,
two judges, they interpreted the Constitution the way they interpreted it.
And so what do you think will happen if this case now goes to the Supreme Court?
God only knows.
Right? It's scary, right?
You've got
six justices that are conservative justices that could potentially uphold this undoing of a ban that existed in this particular county. Mm-hmm. And that is disturbing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In the end, no matter who these old farts that are sitting here making these decisions, in the end, it doesn't matter what they think. It's just super sad that in the end, these children and the people who are allowed to practice this on individuals who are just seeking to find their way, the destruction and the horrible wrong that they're going to be, you know, inflicting on these individuals, it's super scary. And to think that they had a ban and now it's no longer there. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the scary part.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, too, that this was called an outlier, and that all other federal appeals courts have upheld similar protections against conversion therapy. So this is the one outlier that has happened.
Right.
But I think that moving forward, knowing how many judges Trump has appointed, we should expect more of this.
Right. And like you said, this particular 11th District Court covers Georgia, Florida, and what other state?
Alabama.
And mm-hmm. Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so think about all these other, like, smaller districts now going to this to this 11th Circuit Court and saying, we want to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? It's dangerous because it has the ability to set a precedence.
Right. And so.
On a different note, since we mentioned Mr. President Trump a couple times, I got an update.
Hashtag not mine, but go ahead.
I got an update 12 minutes ago. The Trump administration informs Joe Biden they are ready to begin the formal transition process.
What? From what?
CNN.
What?
About motherfucking time.
I'm sure it was after...
all like, what?
I'm sure it was after Michigan today, what they did with the certifying the vote, as well as the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania knocking down a case brought by the Trump administration to invalidate absentee ballots, I believe it was, and the Supreme Court of the Commonwealth threw that case away. And I think they've just exhausted all their possible efforts. Their Trump legal team, they're literally melting on stage. They are literally melting.
Seriously.
They have nothing left to stand on.
I know.
And I think it's finally, it still sickens me that the Republican Party who used to stand for something.
Right.
No longer has a backbone, and they've put.
They're so afraid of him.
They are terrified of this man.
Well, he's already threatened that as soon as he leaves the White House, those who speak up against him will have to deal with him even after he's out of office.
And I think he's already said he's going to run in 2024. I'm like, honey, you're going to be in jail.
Yeah, right.
So, and you know what's shocking even more? Well, it's not shocking, but it just makes me feel good and gooey all inside, like some baked good that just came out of the oven, is the fact that they filed 35 different lawsuits, 35 different litigations in Pennsylvania across many states, and they only won one.
I believe it was two. I believe they
one of them was reversed in Allegheny County.
Oh, was that the one with the
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, is that the one with the observers?
Right.
Okay.
And so now they're just 35-1, according to
that's quite the record. It's quite the record right there.
So,
but he still hasn't conceded.
He's not going to.
He informed Biden's campaign. Oh no, we can start the transition, right. But I'm not going to concede.
Right.
Well, the closest you're going to get to a concession from Donald Trump is by him saying that the Democrats stole this election. And I heard this interesting elaboration. I didn't catch her last name. I didn't catch her last name. But she was reporting out of D.C. on CNN. Her first name was Jamie. And she was talking about the President Trump and his electoral denial. It's kind of like a balloon losing air. Like, air is coming out of it slowly. And it might hit a few of you in the head with a couple bad tweets, as she said, until eventually it hits the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly what it is. It's just blowing across the room, but eventually it's going to lose steam and plop to the ground, shriveled up.
So do you know who Navarro Cardenas is?
No.
She's that Spanish
Ana
lady.
Navarro?
Yeah.
She's a Republican,
she's
too.
A Republican.
She hates Donald Trump.
And she's on The View now. She's one of the hosts on The View.
She was frequent on CNN. I know Ana Navarro.
Oh, she'd be tearing him up. So she tweeted.
Oh, yeah.
She goes like,
okay.
Listen, I'm good with that. As long as Trump and his band of liars gets the hell out of the White House on January 20th at noon, I don't give a damn if he attends Biden swearing in or is invited to tea. I'd rather not have him look I'd rather not have to look at him making faces while Biden speaks.
Exactly.
You know what? Also, too,
and I'm okay with that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Totally okay with that.
I want to... Oh, my God. Hold on one second. Keep talking.
So, Sorry. Anyway. But I fucking love Anna. So, she's now on The View. She's one of the hosts on The View. And she was tearing him a new home.
Oh, she has been since, I believe, since prior to him even securing the nomination.
Since he was running.
What I mean, yeah.
So, the first time I ever heard her... The first time that I ever heard her doing or saying anything against Trump that was so like ridiculously crazy, and I just like who the fuck is this woman? I fucking love her. Mm-hmm. Was when he made the comments, when he came down the elevator, announced that he was running for president, and he started saying that Mexicans would that Mexico would only send over thieves, liars, rapists, and
the murderers.
And I was like, holy shit, did he just say that? Mm-hmm. And that didn't even begin to prepare us for all the shit that would mm-hmm. come after.
Absolutely.
So my question, when would you check yourself? Like Kayleigh McKinnon? Am I saying that right? Yep.
Secretary?
When would you be like, all right, fine, he's wrong, he's a liar? Like, when do you check yourself?
When you're employed for Donald, you never do that.
No, you check yourself when Bette Midler throws your ass under the goddamn bus.
And I did not hear about this.
Oh my God, I died. I literally was laying in bed cracking the fuck up.
I did not hear about this.
I love Bette Midler, and I have watched, I mean, like, Beaches was my sick movie as a kid. Clearly, I don't know how my parents didn't know, but like, anyway, at some point, Kayleigh McKinnon said, after presenting 234 pages of sworn affidavits raising allegations of fraud in Wayne County, Michigan, the Wayne County Board of Canvassers has declined to certify the portion of Michigan vote. And then Bette responds with, "With all due respect, Kayleigh, go fuck yourself."
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing.
And then she goes on to say, "Harvard has a lot to answer for."
Right. So her and Cher constantly go on Twitter and just freaking troll the shit out of the president and all his goons. And I fucking live for it. And so does Anna Navarro.
But like, I've never seen Bette Midler literally say, "Go fuck yourself."
Go on her Twitter.
If I was Kayleigh, I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I need to resign now."
Yeah, right.
Bette exactly. Midler just slammed me. I mean, Bette Midler.
Go on her Twitter and read all her comments. She is fucking insanely amazing at really like dogging people.
If Bette Midler ever slammed me, I would cry. I would literally be like, digging a hole.
I would hold that shit like a badge of honor. I was like, oh my God, Bette Midler just even talked to me.
I mean, if she uplifted me, yeah, sure. But if she slammed me, I'd be like, oh my God, Bette Midler hates me.
I couldn't sleep at night.
No, it's just, it's insane. But yeah, she's devious. Gotta love her. That's the divine Miss M for you. All right, so let's cover one more story, and then we can go to break, and then come back and talk about other amazing things. So, Christopher, why don't we talk about your story? This one's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about this one until I got here and was rushing to get ready. So it was a couple days ago. Uh-huh. But the first polar pride raises rainbows over the North and South Poles.
Simultaneously or on different events?
I mean, I'm just saying that I don't know if it was exactly simultaneously, but...
But that's awesome, though. Can you imagine?
It was the first official Polar Pride. The event showing Polar Pride. The event showing LGBTQ plus pride was formally inaugurated Wednesday, the 20th, by the governments of the British Antarctic Territory and South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, which is fascinating. So the Polar Pride coincided with the International Day of LGBTQ plus people in STEM, aiming to bring diversity to the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm. So that was a really uplifting story. I like that.
That's awesome. They're literally they did this both in the North Pole and in the South Pole.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be STEM. It should be STEAM, but that's okay.
So now we have gay prides flying
art
both in the North Pole and South Pole. Now the next time we get a man to the moon, we have to give him a pride flag and have him hang it.
Absolutely.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, Mama Kim's going to make it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and then if you do see on it, there was a tweet, happy Polar Pride from the Ice Inverts team on board the RVIB Nathaniel B. Palmer in the Weddell Sea in Antarctica.
Right. And this particular story is also... greetings from Earth. This particular story was also published on theadvocate.com, so you guys can go there and check it out and read up all the amazing things that are happening. So
they're even social distancing in frickin' Antarctica. there's another tweet celebrating Polar Pride in 2019 versus 2020. Oh, standing outside, God, right in front of a monster glacier with a pride flag, and then huddled up inside by themselves.
That's beautiful.
But they're still celebrating, and they're honoring the social distancing that everyone should be doing, even in Antarctica.
Well, it's not like you're going to be, like, unless one person had it, right? But the chance, if you got tested before you got there, like, nobody else lives there.
Oh, my God. Okay, there's one more. There's one more. Another, a rainbow going over one of their ships.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, that was a very uplifting story.
I have to tell you. I have to tell you, though. This is an observation, at least for me. 2020 has been a fucked up year, right? No shit, right?
Understatement of the decade. Of the year.
But I will tell you that rainbows this year have really found a way of just keeping us focused and warm and amazingly, like shocked at some of the shit. Like, all the shit that's going on, rainbows really make it better. So there's been a lot of pictures that people captured all throughout 2020 of rainbows just really, like, going out of their way to just make it a better day. Mm-hmm. Countless and countless pictures of rainbows in 2020 were just incredibly amazing. So on that note, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take us to break. We're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have more Dish. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, "Babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say."
Yep, 236.
"Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same." "A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise."
Wow.
"And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land. I'll meet you at the station where we can get on that train.
I'm muting. Anybody got a cough?
To the wasteland
where
we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same.
All right, welcome back from the break. That, of course, was Wastelands by the incredible Amanda Barrick. Her debut album released on July 31st, and it's available on all the major music services. Make sure that you go check it out. She's awesome and incredible. So before we went on break, we were talking about religion, separation of church and state, and all that good stuff. So in a sense, yes, the First Amendment does provide language for separation.
I'm like, search, we're going all the way back.
And state. What it does not do is prohibit people, individuals, from bringing religion into politics.
That's what it is. It's saying the government, it doesn't, the government is not allowed to
push religion or establish. You're right. It does establish, you know, in a way, a separation of church and state, but it doesn't stop individual people from being elected and bringing their religious convictions and making decisions in Congress.
But you're right. But if a judge is appointed and is interpreting the Constitution correctly, their personal opinions don't necessarily matter. They need to interpret it the way it's been written.
Right.
That opens in a whole other argument.
Right.
Think about, for example, justices like Scalia, Antonin Scalia, right? He was very, the way he saw law was very, was based on his beliefs and things, his theological way of thinking about law was different than most.
But then
of the
you're
other
not
justices.
A good judge.
Well, then there's, it comes down to, there are two different stances when it comes to looking at the Constitution. There are those really conservatives who are originalists who believe to look at the Constitution as it was written the day it was written. And then there are those like myself who believe that the Constitution is a living document
that
and it grows
change.
As long alongside of us as we grow over time. So The way that they interpret it, I wouldn't use the word correctly because it comes down to really you interpret the Constitution.
Yeah. Right. And you got to understand.
But I mean, we separated from England because we wanted, you know, separation from the monarchy, which is a religious institution.
Not necessarily. They're just ahead of the state. 100%. Do you honestly believe that the current monarchy is a religious institution? The queen is the head of the church.
I'm not saying the current. I'm saying when we left the monarchy, when we left England, it was a religious institution and we left it for a reason. And that wasn't the only reason, but that was part of it. They want Puritans wanted to
We wanted religious freedom.
Being a Puritan.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people wanted to leave and be able to practice what they wanted to. When you think about, for example, Martin Luther and all the things that he was writing, promoting, his referendum versus Catholicism or versus the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, there was a lot think about it this way. Henry Tudor. Right, King Henry VIII had two daughters, and both of them were queen at some point in time. One was a staunch Roman Catholic queen, and the other one was a Protestant. We obviously know who the Protestant queen was. That was the Virgin Queen, Elizabeth I. But Mary, his first daughter, committed atrocities in the name of the Roman Catholic Church and slaughtered a lot of people. As a result of her religious convictions.
But more, you're making my point.
No. I'm saying that, yes, in those times, religion drove a lot of things, but the monarchy itself...
was run by the Vatican. 100%.
No, not the English. Not the English throne. They separated from Rome. Henry VIII actually went through and separated the church from Rome and created the Church of England.
Church of England.
Right. And he became...
You're right.
The head of the Church of England.
You're not wrong.
But there was nothing religious about Henry or any other monarch that's come after him. And that is clearly evident in the way they live their lives. Look at all the scandals that come out of
that. But before there was a prime minister, they were governed by monarchs and religion.
Well, actually, the Archbishop of Canterbury was the main guy in the Church of England, and he sort of kind of advised the monarchy and say, hey, this is happening. I think we should do X, Y, Z. And of course, because it was an absolute monarchy at the time, he would say, yes, that is the law, and that's what happens.
Yeah, and he advised on behalf of, obviously, the Pope, which is why Joe Biden is going to be the second.
The Archbishop of Canterbury?
Well, that's why we only have had now, or come January 20th, two Catholic priests because people were worried that...
Presidents. We've
two,
had more than those.
Two darling, Catholic presidents.
The Archbishop of Canterbury was not part of the Roman Catholic Church.
I don't know
He's
much about that
history. He's the head of the Church of England.
Oh, that Church of England. Okay,
right.
Got you.
It's a Protestant church. They are not part of the Roman Catholic Church at all. And till this day continue not to be. He's just like the biggest religious person... under the English
But church. One of the main reasons why we succeeded from England was because of religion, was because they wanted to practice and right. have religious freedom.
And charge us tax for all the tea that we drank.
Yeah, and then we threw it in the Boston fucking harbor.
Yes, obviously. But we, yes, that was one of the big reasons was to avoid religious persecution.
Yeah.
History 101 here on Gay Talk 2.0 and LGBT podcast.
We don't know what we're talking about.
But no.
That's not my area of expertise.
No, but I do. I'm fascinated how.
I know that. Yeah, that those are Tom questions.
Yeah, they fascinate me. Like that whole thing between Henry VIII and the Pope and the French King and all these wars that happen as a result of who wanted to be the emperor and who didn't want to be a part of Rome, and you know Henry saying "fuck you, Rome, you don't want to you know absolve my marriage. I'm going to marry six women, and you can suck it." You know, and you know,
yeah, I think it's more they could suck it, but
yeah,
well, true. But you know, in the end, you know, three of them got beheaded, I think, or something like that. It's pretty crazy.
True love,
yeah.
Anyway,
the only one that ever either died of natural causes given birth was Jane Seymour, or the one that he considered the ugly one, which was, oh my god, what was her name?
Kellyanne Conway.
No, Anne of Cleves. Anne of Cleves and Jane Seymour. And
you were close.
Catherine Parr. Those were the only three that survived Henry. And one because Henry died, so Catherine Parr was the last queen that he had. And she ended up like being queen regent while his son came of age. And he ended up dying young anyway, which is how Elizabeth and Mary ended up on the throne. But the other two were beheaded for being... you know, wild.
We'll just start a GoFundMe page so you can start your own Royals podcast or something like that.
It's amazing. I fucking love it. Anyway.
I mean, I'd listen to that.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start one tomorrow. That's it. It's done.
I mean, you're off all week.
That's a valid point. That is a valid point.
All right. So listen, we've got a couple of more things we would like to talk about aside from all the craziness. But yes, darling, you were right. You were right. I just wanted to say that out loud and say it. On record.
Wait,
I read about so what? Many things we have to get notarized today. I
know. About separation of church and state.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Was confusing it with the fact
I know,
that
he really dragged that one out.
I was like, okay, I'll take it.
I was like, you know what? I believe the Trump team is looking for some new lawyers. So,
you know, alternative facts. That's all I can say.
At least you don't have to dye your hair. You're fine.
Yeah. Well, true that. All right. So listen, Trish, you've got some news.
Anyway.
Start your story, and then I'll say my comment.
First of all, I can't believe that it was 2 years ago that Sven and Magic had their first baby.
And that baby is probably a teenager and impregnating other, like, fucking penguins at this point.
So, Magic, or who is now called Kara, is 2 years old, is in a relationship, but was unsuccessful in having... hatched an egg this year. But that being said, Australia's favorite gay penguins are again proud parents.
Yay.
I know, it's so exciting. So we have again Sven and Magic having another kid, and her name is Carrie Dixon. And
what was the first one's name? Sven?
No,
Sven is
Svenjik was the first one's name, but they changed the name to Kara.
And then now they have a second one, and that one's name is?
Carrie.
Kara and Carrie.
Carrie
Why
and Carrie.
Why did they change the name?
I don't know. It does not describe that in this article, but...
So both of the Sven and Magic are in
Australia.
Okay. Yep. The land down under, I'm telling you.
I know. It's super exciting. I mean, that's really...
You get so excited with animals.
I do, but what's really awesome about it is like they always have the cleanest nest, the biggest nest, the prettiest nest, and then they have the baby.
Size queen.
And only 7 of the eggs hatched this year, which is pretty amazing that Sven and Magic had their egg.
That's awesome.
Or had their baby.
That's
awesome.
Did they steal this egg?
Nope. It was given to
because you know there was a pair of penguins that stole an egg. Mm-hmm. Remember that one? Mm-hmm.
They were going through that empty nest syndrome, and they were like, well, you know, Kara left. Now we need Carrie. So
we still got work to do. We still got
another baby.
You know, we still got a gay pride parade to plan and a family to raise.
And the penguin is doing really well. So we're really excited about it. But yeah, congratulations.
Do they have pictures of the baby check of the little penguin baby? Oh, I wonder if they do like live streams. So you remember April the giraffe that was born and they were waiting for her?
Oh, yeah,
and they did this whole live stream. Like, you go to the live stream was like live for like 6 months. Do you mean to tell me that you've waited all this time for this giraffe to finally pop out little baby April, right? And so I think they should do a live in where people can get to see the baby grow up. I think that would be awesome. I would totally play it.
And these, they should become the mascots for that Polar Pride. I mean, it looks pretty polar. Right?
That's so cute. Right? Yeah.
And one of the prides did take place in Australia. So, I mean,
we should totally like email the Polar Group. Do we have contact information for them?
We will find it.
And say that, you know, we've got two gay penguins in Australia that really need to be your mascots.
Absolutely.
And do that.
Absolutely.
That would totally be amazing.
I just can't believe it has been 2 years.
I know. And in 2 years, we've had gay penguins, we've had gay dolphins.
Yeah, we've had gay everything.
Right? And it's, so you're
besides moose, Chris. Well,
I love moose.
Yeah, we know.
Can we talk to Canada and find out if we've got two male moose running around?
They'll be hard to find, but just moose in general. But,
right. But what's super exciting is that in 2020, so we have Kara.
Uh-huh.
And then also we talked about the lesbian couple, Electra and Viola.
Right.
Who have their hatched penguin. That
I'm
happened
so
this year as well.
These penguins.
In Valencia, so Spain. And that same-sex couple is doing really well with their baby as well. So, I mean, like, we've got two gay parent couples out there raising penguins.
So all we need, Captain Moose Knuckle, look at me. All we need is to find out whether or not Canada is going to find two gay moose.
I think we already did find two gay moose. One's just albino.
It makes sense. It's like your relationship.
I was waiting for it to go there once you started this conversation.
Well, it makes sense, dick. Right? So I think we need to find something.
Well, Canada. Remember that
Canada needs to give us a little love from the animal kingdom.
Well, remember that picture that was posted on Instagram of the... Even though I think we found out that it might have been photoshopped, but the moose who was going up and he was like kissing the pride flag, maybe he just hasn't found his mate yet.
Well, he's probably looking for you. You're coming. He's coming. He'll be there soon. As soon as Corona's over, he'll take his trip to Canada.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, I wanted to go back to this whole animals and finding gay and in nature. Why does it fascinate you so much?
Honestly, I think it's, one, I'm not really an animal person.
Right.
So I don't know.
She lies.
No, I'm not.
She says she's not, but you should see her with my dogs.
I mean, I love animals, but like, I'm not like, yeah, I want one.
Right. Okay.
But I think it's more about validation. It's like, if it's real in the animal kingdom, then it's not, you know, a choice.
Yeah. And for those who are, against the LGBT community, it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's not a choice. It's relevant in multiple species.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these penguins know they can't have a baby, so they're stealing fucking eggs. Like, come on.
Except for Fen and Magic.
Mm-hmm.
They were given an egg.
No, the first time they tried to steal it, and then they were given the first egg, which is
Kara, was a stolen egg.
No. Kara was, they tried to steal an egg. It didn't hatch. The second year, when Svenjik was born, Svenjik, now Kara, the zoologist gave them an extra egg.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, see, it's like, there's so many freaking, like, examples of, gay in the animal kingdom, and it's beautiful to see that. I get so confused.
You know, I saw...
And it really doesn't take much.
I saw an article that in 1968 or 70-something, there was an exhibit at the Bronx Zoo, and it literally was a mirror, and it was the most dangerous animal.
Oh, yeah, and it's us.
And it's us.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a mirror.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, we are... We're mammals. We're animals. Like, we maybe have a bigger brain or whatever. Sometimes, not right now,
right.
But in general, but the reality is like,
be bigger, we just don't use it all.
Yeah. We're mammals and we are animals and we have our own like instincts. We want to sleep with a man. We want to sleep with a woman. We want to sleep with whomever we want.
But in the end, what you were seeing in the reflection was their way of saying, you are the most dangerous animal.
Yeah, but the point is, it's like, you're an animal. Right. We are a part of the animal kingdom. Right. We don't think of ourselves that way, right. But we are.
Well, we think of ourselves of a more superior species, but nonetheless, we are a species just like everything else on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not careful, we can, just like many times in history.
Greta will tell you.
Yeah, we can be extinct. Speaking of Greta, that fucking video. I still have that video in the back of my head with all the superheroes coming out.
Oh, yeah.
The face of Biden, and then Nancy Pelosi comes out, and then Gretchen Wilson, and then Pete comes out in the Spider-Man suit. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, a mask comes up, and there's Greta.
Dude, when Pete came out, I was like, I could get down with that.
Honey, I can get down with that even without the Spidey suit. It's the truth.
And I want to see the new documentary. Is it called I Am Greta or mm-hmm. Greta?
Yeah.
It looks good. And that girl is fierce. I don't think I've ever used that word. But she's going to be on the world stage for a long time to come.
Well,
and she's going to get a lot of great things done.
What's really amazing about her is she's on the spectrum. She's literally on the spectrum. She has social anxiety, social disorder. And she took a moment and was like, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have this going on in my life, but she has a mind above that, right. And she's taking her platform, and she's making a big fucking wave, and it's really amazing.
She has a bigger purpose in life.
Yeah.
She knows that. She understands that.
But it's like, we as people always put down individuals with, you know, social disorders, or if they're on the spectrum, we don't equate them as our equals.
Right. And but, they go on to do amazing things.
Look at this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck?
You know, some of the most amazing individuals in both the 19th and 20th century that created and invented many amazing things that we take for granted today were people that were either in some way, shape or form, handicapped or on the spectrum or having some sort of disorder that caused them to focus on something other than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a greater society for it, right? When you think about the eccentricness of people like, for example, Einstein.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people said that he was mad.
Yeah.
And psychotic.
I mean, but I don't know the validity to it, but there is like that one rumor that he forgot to put on pants one day. Like, and he just, like,
that,
went out.
I mean, you do that all the time.
Yeah, but I'm not Albert Einstein.
Valid.
When you think about, for example, people like Benjamin Franklin, people did say that, you know, he was very eccentric.
Yeah, no.
In his time. But these are people that, as a result of their afflictions, they rose above their afflictions to create something that humanity could benefit from even after, long after they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that whole fucking, like, daylight savings time. You suck. Thank you very much. Because it's dark already.
So Greta has Asperger's, which is her autism spectrum diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
But she is the world's most important person for 2020.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really great that after I heard it today, she's going to have an incredibly viable ally in the United States now, with John Kerry being poised to become a special envoy for climate change.
Right.
We're back. We're back. Day one. We're going to, if it's not day one, it's probably going to be day one.
Right.
We're back in the Paris Climate Accord. The United States is going to get back to working with the globe to combat this near irreversible issue. And Greta's got an ally from the U.S. and we're going to work hard with that girl because we love her.
Where we should have been in the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not, as a result of...
Well, we haven't even left it yet, but he did officially withdraw, but I don't think it was due to go into effect until January 20th or the 21st.
I think it's already been said that one of the first things that President Biden will do as of January 20th in the first 100 days is to reverse and go back and be a part of the Paris Accord.
Absolutely.
Which is important. Mm-hmm. And also other things that were put in place that harm our environment and some of the EPA mandates that were put in place as a result of that stupid asshole's pen that will be reversed.
And put someone in charge of the EPA that believes in climate science.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact or the thought of seeing all of these people gone. For example, Betsy DeVos.
Mm-hmm. Gone. I've been waiting for the day to see her go.
Oh, Lord. Cannot wait.
I know.
But, you know, better days are coming, and we'll be better for it. So, listen, I think we've had a great discussion, a great show today. It's been an amazing time. We've got a couple of more things that we're going to go through, as we usually do. So I'm going to kick it over to good old Trish, unless you would like to talk about the last story before we move on.
Yeah, I'll say the one that Trish sent me.
I thought it was funny.
I think it's great. I think it's great. So I have been a huge fan of Family Guy nearly from the beginning. I will say but this is like in middle school is when Family Guy came out. When I was in middle school, I think I was in seventh grade when I was one of those people who was like, oh, I don't like Family Guy. Didn't see a single episode.
I think I was already just like sex saying with that. Family Guy.
Why though?
I don't know. I was in seventh grade.
I don't like it, but.
But then I was like, this is Family Guy? This is great. So I got hooked on it. And there's this one beloved character who is always comic relief, Bruce, who is always, you know, talking. He's a guy who's always like, oh, no. And Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
calling to his partner, but they never... he never was officially gay. It's just kind of like you assumed.
Yeah,
you knew it. And
it's like Stewie.
Exactly, right.
Like Stewie.
Exactly. Well, we'll work on impressions another day. but I guess on the sixth episode of season 19, which was entitled Meg's Wedding, Bruce and Jeffrey finally got married to each other. So it's official, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we love you, Bruce. And
even in cartoons. Who created Family Guy?
Seth MacFarlane.
MacFarlane.
And he's amazing. And he's a huge advocate of the LGBT community.
Of course. He's always doing a lot of things with the community, with
I think he does
GLAD.
And HRC, GLAD. Yeah. HRC. I mean, he's a fantastic guy. Pretty to look at, beautiful voice. Oh, and, yeah.
I think he's probably received a couple of awards from some of these organizations.
I believe
he's
been awarded by GLAD or
one of those organizations. But yeah, he does good work in the sense that he is incorporating, a lot of the things that we go through in the LGBT community into his cartoons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And most of the work that he does.
And he does it in American Dad and stuff too. And he's still a comedian. So he does poke fun at everything. I shouldn't say doesn't go over the line at times because
he does.
He sure does, but he's hilarious. But yeah, he's definitely a voice for our community. And that was a good story that Trish shared with me.
I know. Every time I see him, though, I just see Stewie. Like, I don't know why, but he did get a GLAD award, which is amazing.
I was like, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was GLAD.
But I just see Stewie. Like,
Stewie.
That is not a good Stewie. I'm sorry. I love you, but
I don't watch it. Like I told you, every time I watch some of those cartoons, like I feel dumb.
I was just watching American
Dad. No, it does make me feel a little dumb, but every once in a while.
It's a great break for me because I'm always freaking either I'm glued to the news and it's just typically not uplifting stuff. And then every now and then, you know, I throw in some American Dad, some SpongeBob, something to kind of melt.
My pop cultural thing was Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, my God.
No.
Like, that was trash. But that's what I grew up with, right? And so when I was going to high school, Beavis and Butthead was on MTV. Like, that was one of, like, the first shows that they started promoting when they started.
I felt like I Dream of Jeannie or Happy Days was on when you were in high school.
That, too. Reruns.
They had cartoons back then.
Right? Fucking bitch. So, no, but
they... saw the premiere of Fantasia.
I did.
All right, that one was a little mean. I'm sorry. And you didn't, but...
Nasty. Those were some of the cartoons that were very risque, right? Like, you have your typical Cartoon Network cartoons, but Beavis and Butthead were...
Ren
like,
and Stimpy. Well, they literally banged in one episode.
Ren and Stimpy came out after The Lion King, right? No. Were they
It was in the 80s.
I'm thinking Timon and Pumbaa. No,
yeah. Ren this and Stimpy. Is not Timon and Pumbaa. Ren and Stimpy came out in, I think, the 80s.
So,
oh my God.
No, because...
Why are we
MTV
even talking about this?
Didn't start doing cartoons until they started doing reality TV.
Ren and Stimpy was on Nickelodeon, by the way, and it was 91 to 95.
Right. So right around, because I ended up graduating from high school in 94. And so, yeah, like right around my freshman year, all those cartoons were coming out. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, fine. You know, and not only that, everybody was walking around the hallways like,
yeah, right,
you
know? Exactly.
And that's all you did. And I'm like, oh God, this is so stupid. But I watched it nonetheless.
Yeah, the early 90s had the, I mean, well, one, The Simpsons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then in South Park, early South Park. Mm-hmm. Well, all South Park is incredibly risque and I love it.
Wait, right. Is that still happening?
South Park is still is still being made. They wanted to stop like years ago and they're like, but here's money. And they're like, okay. Like, but Ren and Stimpy, what about Celebrity Deathmatch? Like, do you remember all those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like nasty cartoons.
Right?
Yeah.
They were crazy, but they were all on MTV or VH1. It was one of those two
Nickelodeon
channels.
Too. Nickelodeon, Ren and Stimpy. That? Yes, Ren and Stimpy was on Nickelodeon.
Lord have mercy.
The Simpsons, what was that on?
That was on Fox for a long time.
Still is.
And Fox. And
Fox.
So is Family Guy and American Dad. Those are on Fox. I watch it on TBS.
Hey, listen, if they're willing to pay Seth MacFarlane, he wants to take that cash and still promote LGBTQ relationships up in the motherfucking cartoons. Good for you, babe. Good for you. So
even in the Orville, he makes like he.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never watched that show.
It's good. Definitely check that out.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah, there's our shout out to cartoons.
Yeah.
Orville's not a cartoon, but.
Yeah. Good old stroll down memory lane. Woo. All right. Well, Trish, why don't you tell us what we've got lined up for Mama Kim?
All right, everybody. So it's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, Dan Levy makes Sexiest Man Alive. Hello. So cute. Number two.
Oh, wait.
Did you see the tweet his mom sent him?
No.
Look it up when you get a chance.
Okay.
And also, you will cry. This is exactly how I would be getting, not saying I'm sexist, man, nowhere near that, but that's how I'd be getting caught.
Oh, 100%. That is your photo in Germany. Number two.
Actually, it was in a bag, but it was probably the same amount of bottles.
I'm going to say this wrong. Janya Khan to lead first ever out 100 virtual symposium. Number three, Billy Porter is preparing to direct his first feature film. Oh, my God. All right, everybody. So this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com, is railed, which means banished, sent out of town, tarred and feathered. So that is my term for Donald Trump.
I was going to say, I've never wanted to rail. Never mind.
Bye, Felicia. Before you move on to yours, I wanted to read the tweet from Dan Levy's mom.
Okay.
And so here's what she says. She goes, today, I regret every single second of worry back in the uninformed 80s, wondering how the world was going to treat my brilliant little boy who loved to twirl. Little did I know that he was going to kick that old world's ass to the curb and create a brand new one.
Also, I love to twirl, too. So.
He does.
That's awesome.
We have proof.
That's awesome.
And I thought it was incredible, and it gave me all the feels when I read that. So, go ahead, Chris.
All right. So, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
When November 23rd in Germany, Germany's sexuality laws were reformed. The infamous paragraph 175 stays on the books, but is significantly amended.
Words are hard.
I know. I've been dealing with you guys all day. Your mouth is juicy. So it continues to say its name changes from, quote, crimes and misdemeanors against morality to offenses against sexual self-determination. Sexual acts are no longer referred to as lewdness, and the only crime left in paragraph 175 is sex with a minor. The age of consent for homosexual acts is lowered to 18, though the age of consent is 14 for heterosexual acts, which is odd, and I would wonder, should that have been amended further to this day, which is something we can do research on, and we'll get back to you on that. But that is your On the Staying Gay History fact.
Yeah, we should find out whether or not they raised that, because if you can be 14 heterosexual, and
that's weird.
They probably updated.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But. At least they got it right with the 18 year olds for the gay world, right?
All right.
To be 18, you're legal, and then you can do and decide for yourself.
I
wouldn't do
it.
It did for me too. I was a little sexual, corny little motherfucker all through my life.
Law-abiding citizen.
Lies.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Next week, I have to look over here now. I like it. We're very excited to welcome back to the show Andy Julia. Andy Julia is a former host of the Idiots Radio to dish on his new podcast, The Fantastic Podcasting Duo. And I believe there's a co-host with him, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So Ray Anthony.
Ray Anthony. Yep. Ray Anthony. Mm-hmm. Will be nice to see both of them.
All right. So thank you to our co-host, Chris. Showed up 3 weeks in a row.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's been amazing.
I have so many people to thank.
Go ahead. I want to start by thanking all the little people I had to step on to get here.
Mm-hmm. All right. And don't forget, you can get your discount for the future method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STD. Why are you doing that to me? The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person. This is why I'm not going to look at that screen.
Well, it's because I pointed it out. I'm like, she's looking down there.
She's looking down there. So I was like, you know what? So I'm going to go to your next slide so that you could.
But then he fucked it up.
Yeah.
We haven't really been on par when it comes to closing the show out lately.
Never.
No.
It kind of just falls apart.
But that's okay.
I blame the intern more so than the
alcohol. Yeah, I mean, 100%.
I mean, but case in point.
Yeah.
They're not keen to change. They just don't want to do it. So
I don't like change.
Whatever. Every week.
Whatever.
All righty. Can we please put a rubber on this episode?
Let's do that.
All righty. And we'll put a rubber on the Trump presidency. Officially, pretty much. All righty.
Not yet, but yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, baby steps. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under showing up. Audio podcast. Excuse me. We changed it.
It's been changed for the past 3 weeks.
Welcome. And I've only been here for the past 3 weeks.
Welcome
so
back.
Give them a break.
Yeah, exactly. So again, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter at Gaytalk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com. Tom? Good luck.
I gotta read all that. All right. Well, listen, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host, and so much more. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. Just call 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.